This podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're a budding small business owner or a large company looking for a new space, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. The market for cold coffee is hot, with millennials the leading consumers. More on this in a moment. First, these top stories. Senate Finance Committee Republicans gathered Monday to begin debate on a major tax overhaul. They must make significant revisions to their proposals in the days ahead to stay within rules preventing long-run budget deficits. As written, the Senate Republican tax bill doesn't comply with what is known as the Byrd Rule, which prevents the Senate from passing tax and spending measures on simple majority votes if they increase budget deficits beyond 10 years. The government's October producer price index is on Tuesday's economic calendar. Additionally, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans and St. Louis Fed President James Bullard are giving speeches. Companies on Tuesday's earnings schedule include Home Depot, Advance Auto Parts, Beazer Homes, Dick's Sporting Goods, and TJX Companies, the owner of TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. The trouble with tea. It's the world's most popular beverage, but the coffee industry rakes in far more money, clocking a retail value of $79.3 billion in 2016, compared with $42.7 billion for tea. That's according to Euromonitor. Now tea makers, including Lipton parent Unilever, Starbucks, and several British tea companies, are launching new drinks and marketing campaigns to convince people to pay as much for a cup of herbal tea as they would for a cafe latte. Coming up, the growing popularity of cold coffee. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important. And it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Young people on the move are looking for coffee that's ready to drink. And it's not the hot stuff. Cold coffee is now the hottest thing in an industry that's been seeing slowing growth. Go to a supermarket and the cold drinks cases are stuffed with bottled or canned frappes, iced mochas, and cold brew coffee. And they're being supplied by every big coffee maker, including McDonald's and Dunkin' brands. Joining us to talk about the hot demand for cold coffee is Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon, who's in Los Angeles. Julie, in your article on WSJ.com, there's a picture of a cold brew shelf at a Whole Foods market in New York City, and there are brands like Bulletproof, Picnic, Stumptown, Blue Bottle. What is cold brew?
Cold brew is kind of a concentrated coffee drink. It's made from steeping coffee grinds in cold water for several hours, and what results is a very concentrated, you know, apparently flavorful, rich coffee drink that sometimes contains more caffeine than a typical cup of coffee.
Sounds like it's good for mornings.
Yeah.
not to be cute about this, but how hot is the demand for cold coffee?
It's really a fast-growing segment of the supermarket beverage category, and it's growing even faster than sales of regular, you know, coffee at coffee shops. It's refrigerated ready-to-drink coffee has grown 29% in the last year to more than $280 million. And there's also a broader category of ready-to-drink coffee drinks that aren't always sold in the refrigerated cases, but that, you know, need to be refrigerated after opening. So in total, the whole category is valued at about $2.7 billion.
What is driving the demand? I assume it's that magic word, millennials.
They're definitely a big part of this trend. Apparently, millennials are the biggest consumers of coffee, and for some reason, they like it cold, more so than other generations. And so coffee makers are trying to cash in on that And in addition to just being favored by young people, it's also something that is convenient, which is another big selling point for any product these days. No one wants to wait in line for anything. No one wants to even stop for very long to get anything. So to the extent that coffee companies can have a bottled, packaged, you know, drink available for someone who's already in a grocery store or at a convenience store for them to just grab and go, you know, that makes sense.
Well, who are the competitors in this space? I imagine there are a lot of them, and I guess Starbucks would still be in the lead when it comes to making cold coffee. But I imagine also that, you know, Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's are also competing with their own brands.
Yeah, really, everyone's getting into this. Starbucks is definitely still the market leader, and they really started the whole prepared coffee drink category back in the mid-90s with their bottled Frappuccino drinks. But everybody else has kind of wised up to that since then. And Dunkin' Brands recently got into this just at the beginning of this year. They started coming out with a packaged ready-to-drink iced coffees. McDonald's is coming out with packaged iced coffees as well. And then all of the small brands, sort of the craft coffee makers, the Blue Bottles and Stumptowns of the world are in on this as well with bottled or canned cold brew beverages sold in the grocery store.
Aren't there a lot of costs associated with making it and selling it?
Yeah, and that's why it's really hard for, you know, small independent coffee shops to get in on this. And that's why some of the larger players are likely to be more successful going forward because they have the means to produce bottled and canned beverages. It's not cheap to make because it requires a lot of coffee beans, about two times the amount of coffee than it takes to make regular iced coffee, because you just need more coffee to extract the type of flavor that they're going for with these kind of drinks. And then you have different companies all along the supply chain that are involved in making it. There's co-packers that make the concentrate. There are bottling companies like Pepsi and Coke that put it in the bottles. And then you need a fleet of refrigerated trucks to ship those items to grocery stores, and you have to pay for shelf space and all of the complexities of getting a product into a supermarket. So the big companies like Starbucks, Dunkin', McDonald's, that already have distribution systems and the scale to make this work, are able to get into this category, but it's harder for small players to get involved.
I would envy the first company that comes up with a system to try to simplify it and cut down the costs.
I'm sure they're all working on that and talking about it. You know, a lot of them have relationships with bottlers like the Pepsi and Coke already. They have either joint ventures or some sort of partnerships to make that happen. But yeah, there may very well be some efficiencies to be had there still.
Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon joining us from Los Angeles. Thanks a lot, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, no streaming, no problem. Taylor Swift's newest album sold more than 717,000 copies in the U.S. in its first day of release, according to BuzzAngle Music, putting the pop star on pace to potentially beat out week one sales for her previous blockbuster. Ms. Swift on Friday released Reputation, her sixth studio effort, for sale only. It wasn't made available on streaming services such as Spotify or Apple Music. The album may be held from streaming for a week or longer, according to people familiar with the matter. And that's what's news. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.
The future of everything from the Wall Street Journal. All new episodes this fall on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and NPR One. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.